this week marks 60 years in business for a comedy institution. Earlier this year, during a trip to Chicago, I visited the Second City, which calls itself the world's premier comedy club, comedy theater, and school of improvisation. And it certainly has made its mark on comedy in America. Everyone from Chris Farley.
I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
To Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch.
You used to watch hockey with me, didn't you?
Yeah, you swear too much.
The neighborhood children enjoy it.
Yeah.
To Stephen Colbert.
It's called role-playing, Dave.
To Keegan-Michael Key. Many of those comics ended up taking ideas from Second City's main stage to places like Saturday Night Live. And 6 decades after its founding, this place remains a mecca for young actors and writers hoping to make a career out of comedy.
You gotta stop ribbon dancing in the house.
How did you know I ribbon danced?
Saw you doing it yesterday.
I thought you were asleep.
On a recent Monday night, dozens of students were gathered in small groups in classrooms and an amphitheater at Second City's headquarters, practicing their sketches, eating a microwaved meal, or just chatting. Jessica Hannaberry is 37. She started taking classes here 3 years ago. Hannaberry performs at Second City while holding a full-time job in advertising.
I'm in advertising because I wanted to be creative, and my parents had always kind of pushed me, tried to get me into acting and all that kind of stuff, but I honestly was afraid of ruining the thing that I like most in the world. Like, you know, when you see how the sausage is made? I think I kind of spooked myself out of doing that, and then I always kind of regretted it. I was like, this will be my outlet. And then I was like, class after class, like sucked in. And I was like, this is how I really want to make my income, more than I just want it to be my creative outlet.
So what's the ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal is that I'm a freelancer right now. So the ultimate goal is to take the percentage of how I make my income from 100% advertising to, right now I'm still learning and we're performing almost for free, to 100% performing and being an actor and doing comedy, writing sketches, being a part of that kind of universe.
Here in Chicago, or do you want to move on to New York, L.A.?
Gosh. Yeah, I would love to perform in Chicago. I love the city. I would be happy to perform in Chicago for the rest of my life. If something took me to California or took me to New York, I would love that too. I'm so inspired by being here and seeing the different projects. I mean, as we're sitting here, there's all these people practicing for different things and doing rehearsed things, doing improv, doing things on film, that I kind of want to touch it all and see and find the me in it. You know, I'm not like straight out of college coming here. I have had some life experiences and I've had different career things, and I want to find how I can take that part of my being and that part of my knowledge and put comedy and put acting and stuff into it and find that like unique Venn diagram of how I can bring a unique form of entertainment into the world.
It's just that much fun.
It's hella fun. I don't know if I can say that. It's hecka fun. But it's so much fun. I am truly bitten by the bug. Like, I'm lit up about being here more than I've ever been lit up about anything in my entire life.
How worried are you about whether you can make 100% of your income in this business compared to what you're doing now?
I'm only worried that I would quit before I, you know, really tried. If I don't make it, then I've succeeded, you know, like, because I'm getting to do this all the time. If somehow tricking people into performing with me and liking me enough to perform with me. So that part's fine. Like, I'm baseline happy. If I can get even 50-50 to where I'm performing and making that part of my life and making that an outlet, I'll be, like, overjoyed.
27-year-old Jess Alexander thought he was going to be a pastor, but he put that aside when he started a conservatory program here.
My name is Bob Barker.
Now, Alexander wants to do comedy full-time.
Yeah, it'd be really nice to spend all my time doing that. I actually work here as a customer service representative, so I really enjoy being in the building and around the people, so why not make a career performing?
What's the ultimate goal?
Making a living. Some people say LA, some people say New York. Personally, I don't like New York. I live there. Neil Patrick Harris can have it if he wants. But I would love to just live in Chicago and raise a family, maybe teach one of these stages, the main stage or Torco, would be really, really great. That's a great aspiration, but I definitely understand that it's a hard and competitive thing. So honestly, teaching and just kind of being around it for the rest of my life would be wonderful.
What kind of things are you learning, not just from doing it here, but also from working here and watching other people do it?
Yeah, I definitely get to go back in the kitchen, so to speak. This place used to frighten me in the wrong way before I got to know that, you know, the producers and the actors, they're human, just like anybody else. I'm learning to not take myself so seriously. I'm learning that we're all in this together, so to speak. I know it's kind of cliche, but we really are. I'm looking at conservatory students in level 6 right now that are about to do a show, and they're my peers. They're my friends. I'm going to be doing that in 6 months, and so I can empathize with them. There's a lot of empathy that happens when you're in a place like this and you see that you're doing the same thing everybody else is.
There's also empathy because improv is all about feeding off of one another on stage. And in fact, there are two schools of thought on that. One is that you should try to lift up your castmates first before you think about yourself. The other is just the opposite. I asked Alexander where he comes down.
Taking care of yourself is really important because then you know what your deal is, what your character might be, what your objective is. And if the other person is also thinking that, then you guys can make something together because you've already figured out who you are. And I think that applies to a lot of things in life. I'm in a marriage. I hope that my wife doesn't have to just carry me the whole time.
You use your skills from Second City in your marriage?
Yeah, definitely. It's we're 5 years strong now, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, you got to take care of yourself in relationships. And I think that translates really well into improv and then vice versa into relationships in life.
As we talk, we gaze up at a wall of Second City's most successful alumni. People like Eugene Levy, Joan Rivers, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, and Gilda Radner. Anthony LeBlanc is on that wall, too. He's been at the Second City since 2003 and is now a director. He also works as an acting coach for Nickelodeon. LeBlanc studied computer science and physics in college and originally wanted to work for NASA. But then he found Second City. Okay. So do you find that most of the people that you're working with here are coming in because they want to make a career out of it or just because they want a hobby on the side?
It depends. I think that it's a good amount of people who actually probably are just doing it randomly. Either that might be interesting to them or they want something different in their lives or they're looking to get better at their job. And then they might wind up getting that bug and then deciding comedy is the thing they want to do. There are some people who move here and are like, I want to be on SNL or whatever that might be. But there is also a large amount of people who just come in here randomly and then wind up working their way into comedy being the thing that they're into.
How often does somebody come through here and they're just not going to make it?
I mean, make it at what?
Even doing it as a hobby, even doing improv or comedy as a hobby.
Oh, you can do it as a hobby and be fine. A large percentage of people do that. Actually, I think it's different about Chicago than I say even New York or L.A. I think New York and L.A. have a lot of people who are trying to move on in the industry or they're trying to get industry jobs. There's a lot of people, and I tell my students this all the time, that there are people here who are doctors by day or lawyers by day, but at night they perform comedy at a high enough level where people pay money to see them. And that's a unique thing about Chicago is that you can do this as a hobby in quotation marks, but do it at a level that you are really good at it or really good at the thing you do, which is really fun.
Now, Second City is not the only game in town anymore in this city. How do you differentiate yourself from the other players that are here?
Well, I think the two big things for us is that we do satirical sketch comedy. So our end thing is working towards a sketch show that is a theatrical performance, that is an equity show that has a Broadway schedule. That is the end goal of everything we do here is using improv to create those things, which is different from the other places that are here as their main thing. I think the other thing is that really heavy push towards satirical, social political satire is a little different than, say, IO or Annoyance. Things happen there like that, but some of the focus is more on the improv side more so than the sketch review that we're going towards as the end product here.
Why do you think Chicago has such a thriving comedy scene?
Well, first off, the fact that like improv was born here, right? And that's a thing that I think is tied into the idea of just even the mentality of how it started, right? It's the idea of, you know, Vilas Wallin, Neville Boyd, like this idea of like teaching immigrant children how to relate to the new world that they're in and also acclimate themselves and become more confident, right? It kind of comes out of this place of struggle a little bit and hardship that I think pushes people to really enjoy and
have fun.
And have fun, yeah. Because you have to. It's cold most of the time. It's negative 50-something with the wind chill, you got to laugh about something.
Right. What do you tell people who want to come in here and make a living out of this about how difficult that is going to be?
Yeah, I would say that in the end, if your goal is to be famous or to make it, know that that is a very small percentage of people who ever do that as far as like success as deemed by winning things or being wealthy, right? But there's a lot of other successes that can come from that, whether it makes you a person who is able to be in more command of their jobs that they're at, you're creating content and funny that you like, you're doing things on your own terms, that can also be different ways of measuring success. So I always tell people, like, what do you actually see as success for you? And really start to gauge that and really have understand that, because sometimes you can get lost in the idea of what other people say success is versus what you think is being successful.
Director Anthony LeBlanc speaking to us earlier this year. The Second City marked 60 years in business on Monday.